So we've been looking at abiding in Christ. Actually, a very necessary foundation for much of the Christian life. Yet sadly, many Christians, even though they have maybe many years of experience, don't really understand, can't really live, you know, they're not really living by abiding in Him. So last week, 2 weeks ago, we looked at verses 4 and 5. Let's read those again. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So he talked about how abiding in Christ is really, it goes in two directions. We abide in him, and then he abides in us. And in fact, our abiding in him, there's a very important phrase called in Christ that we see all over the New Testament. And it talks about how we are in him. God has placed us when we become born again in him. And of course, the analogy there is branches being connected to the vine. We also saw last week that abiding in him is really the only way, let me repeat that, is the only way that we can ever bear fruit. We cannot bear any lasting fruit without abiding in him. And the good side of that is that we have more influence, eternal influence that is, than any of the kings that have ever lived, inventors, great businessmen, generals, presidents, conquerors, great composers, great artists, because we can bear fruit that others can't bear. They can have an influence on the world, but they can't have an influence in eternal matters. So it's important that we learn to stay connected to the vine. That's our goal. Last time, 2 weeks ago, we used the illustration of the internet. If I have a device and it's not connected, there's not really anything I can kind of get from it. I mean, I can get what I've stored up, but if it's connected online, I actually have access to everything, don't I? Basically, almost all the knowledge of the world. And the same thing when I'm connected to the vine. Colossians 2 says that in him are all the treasures of knowledge and wisdom. They all can flow to me. Okay, so let's kind of look at verse 6 and 7. That's what we're going to be looking at today. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. So, this mystery of abiding, I call it a mystery, not because we can't understand it, but because we can't understand it unless we're connected to the vine, unless God reveals it to us. And that's why I think it's so important that we ask the Lord, Lord, open my eyes to see this. Let me reveal this to me, I pray. The branches and the vine, that's the analogy that Jesus uses. That's because in a predominantly agricultural society, everyone knew, oh yeah, you cut the branch off, the branch is going to die. If it's connected in there, it's going to live. It only makes sense. But this idea of who we are in Christ, is very important. I've been trying to kind of think of little illustrations that can help us see this. Here's a piece of paper. It represents me, or you. And if I put it into a book, this is it's a book on Discipulado. It's a good book, by the way. It's It's in the book, just like we have been placed in Christ. And if I kind of put this book over here, where did the paper go? It went with the book, didn't it? I didn't put the paper there, I put the book there. Likewise, if I give this to Malachi, where's the paper? With Malachi, right? Same thing, if I were to mail this in a, if I were to mail this book in a, to someone in maybe Mexico, you know, to Isaac or Joel, you know, they would open it up and they'd say, oh, there's a piece of paper in here, you know. That's because this paper is in here. If I go to Paris and I decide, oh, I'm going to read this book, and I've got that paper in there, does the paper go with me? Certainly it does, you know. Remember, there's a verse in Colossians 2. I think actually the women may have talked about this at the retreat, that in him we are, our lives are hidden in Christ. And we have been placed in Christ just like this paper in this book. Now, there's actually two sides of abiding. The first side is our position. You know, what's been declared by God. We've been declared that because we're born again, that we are in Christ. So in one sense, we are already abiding in him. There's other things. The scriptures declare that our sins are forgiven, or that we are free from sin. I'm having a hard time with this morning. I'm sorry. Okay, I think that's got it. Okay, these are facts declared in God's word. And God's word says a lot of things about who we are in him. That's our position. But there's also the practical aspect of it. We still have to receive his promises or his declarations. We do that by faith. And perhaps we even have to kind of walk it out. All week I've been trying to think of an illustration or a picture that can help us see this. And of course, all pictures are limited. But let me try. I need a volunteer. How about Irma? Why don't you come up here? I did ask her ahead of time. I didn't tell her what I'm going to do. Yeah, she was voluntold, right. Okay, Irma, why don't you sit over here? So, okay, imagine yourself as being Irma, okay? And all of us, anytime we go to the post office, we get always a stack of mail, don't we? And if you're like me, I kind of thumb through it. The important things, I kind of look at, what do you do with the things that you're not sure about? Trash. Yeah, trash, or sometimes you kind of put them on the side. You're just like, okay. Irma gets one from the government. She kind of puts that aside for a while. She's not sure. Maybe she didn't pay all her taxes or something like that. She's not sure. But anyway, she opens it up, and it's kind of, actually, it's kind of envelope, pretty thick. And she reads the first page, and she is told, it's an official letter stating that she has inherited a large, beautiful ranch in Montana. Let's get a picture of Irma. She gets that letter. Okay. Okay, that's like you, right? Okay. She puts it aside. She can't believe it. 3 or 4 days later, she decides, I wonder what else is in the envelope. So she gets it out, and she says, it's got a bunch of pictures of this ranch she inherited. Let's kind of take a look at some of those pictures. That's the house. She's got a lot of cows with it. You know, it's beautiful. In fact, you can travel 26 miles in one direction and still be on that ranch. It has 30 different buildings on it. I mean, it's got machine shops and barns. It's got beautiful houses, not quite as beautiful as the main ranch house, but enough that we could go visit her. In fact, I think the whole church could probably go live with her. Would that be okay? Okay, that's right. Okay, so now she could sit around talking about this to her friends. I inherited a great ranch. You should see it. She might even kind of show some pictures out of it, you know. Now she's going to get probably some questions, or what's it like? I mean, how do you feel? It must be beautiful. Wait a minute. Irma, what are you doing working at Target if you've got a ranch like that? I mean, no offense to those who work at Target, you know. But what are you doing? I mean, it could be Yvonne, you know. What are you doing at Goodway Garage? I mean, that's the best garage in all of Summit County. They pay you a whole lot. You got a great boss, of course, you know, but still, what are you working there for when you inherited a ranch? You know, this is what's been declared by the government. You know, it's been declared to you. But you know what? Irma still, you know, she's still going to have to go out there and kind of see the ranch. That's the purpose of it, right? I mean, it could be, just imagine, you can go ahead and sit down right now. I just wanted to put a face with it. You know, you saw her smile when she heard it. Just imagining it, it kind of, you know, she thought, especially looking at those pictures. Brothers and sisters, we've inherited something much more than a ranch in Montana, even with 30 buildings, a lot more. And the problem is that we're like the people who've inherited something, but we haven't done anything about it. We talk about it sometimes. We might even be talking to our kids about, yeah, you know, yeah, on our ranch, we have all sorts of ponies and horses. All kids are like, oh, Dad, can we go see my horse, you know? We're going to do that someday. We're going to do that someday. Well, you've got to go out and receive it. You got to sign the papers, not to make it yours, but there's a lot of income being produced there, and they want to know your bank account number, you know, your routing number and your account number, because you've got a lot of income coming in all the time. You know, don't you think that's important to do? I would think it's important to do. But you got to go there. You need to kind of see it. You've got to explore this. This is going to take you a while just to explore. You know, you're going to get to know it. You want to learn how to operate it. And probably the idea is that you want to live there as well, right? So it's not just that you've got the paper. And that's kind of the difference between, and it's a lot of things in God's Word. Positionally, we've been given something. It's been declared to us. It is ours. Heaven's declared it. But, you know, we can sit around and talk about it. You know, we can go to church and talk about all the good things that we've inherited, all the things of who we are in Christ. But at some point, God wants us to start taking possession of it. Is this making sense? I mean, I know every illustration has its limitations. And certainly this ranch is nothing compared to what God's given us. Although it is true that Jesus said he was going away to prepare a place for us. Okay, here you go. And I don't know, I wouldn't mind. I know there's about 3 or 4 years when I was maybe like 8th, 9th, 10th grade, I used to dream of having a big ranch. So, I mean, I wouldn't mind having something like that. I'm sure you wouldn't either. But what we really have is much more than this. And we all know that, don't we? Okay. So, one of the things we want to talk about as we go through this passage is practically, how do we learn to possess the ranch? How do we actually practically learn to abide in Him? Positionally, we've already been placed there. We are a branch put into the vine if we've truly been born again. So what happens if we're not abiding? Verse 6, it says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Personally, I think that's talking about our position. If we haven't truly been born again, if we haven't been designated as a branch going into the vine, we're going to wither up. There are many people, the majority of the people of this world are like those branches. And that's one reason we need to be diligent in sharing the good news with them. But verse 7, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, again, that's both ways, right? And this is kind of where it gets practical. If my words abide in you, this is part of the practical part of it. For me to be abiding, I need to allow his words to start abiding in me. That's how I practically go to Montana and start kind of taking possession of the ranch I've inherited. When we invite his words, the words of Jesus, to come into my life and to abide, to live there, it seals the connection between the vine and the branches. Maybe another illustration. A hose and a faucet. Okay, we've all seen that. We don't really use them much up here in the wintertime, but in the summertime we do. That's a connection. Positionally, that hose has been what? Plugged in and screwed into the faucet, right? But if you leave that off, nothing's going through it. That's the way a lot of Christians are. You know, I think actually Bobby last week talked about several natures of us. You know, there's the nature of who we are in Christ. I'm kind of using some of my words. That's what we're talking about. And then there's just being a branch, or, you know, the old nature. And then I think he talked about, you're kind of hesitating in between. Well, this would be like a hose, but you haven't turned the water on. Because what's the purpose of the hose? To allow the water to flow through. And the same way, we want to let God's word, let Jesus' life start flowing through us like a branch, like a hose. After all, that's the purpose of the branch. That's the purpose of a vine, isn't it? Or of a branch. And a hose is to be something that the life flows through. Let's take a look at James chapter 1. Verse 21 and 22. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Receive the word implanted. That means get it inside of us. And then it says, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. And then in verse 25, but one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer. In other words, we're actually doing God's word. This man will be blessed in what he does. See, the idea is that God's word is to get inside of us. Actually, Jesus Christ is the word of God, isn't it? That's what John says, John 1. And so when one practical way we can get Jesus living into our life is getting his word into our life. You know, Colossians 3, we don't have this up here, but it talks about, it says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. I like that. Let his word get inside of us. So practically, what does that mean? Does that mean just reading the Bible? No, it means much more than that, doesn't it? It means studying it, meditating on it, chewing on it. You know, you know what the word ruminate means? I think we have a slide up here. Let me explain, because a lot of English speakers don't even know, and I'm sure Spanish speakers don't. ¿Cómo se llama en español? Ruminar. Okay. Anyway, ruminate. And it means to chew on or to ponder, if you look it up in the dictionary. It also means, and this is why I have a cow. This is one of Irma's cows that she has, or a bunch of her cows on her ranch. So if we kind of go to live with her, we can kind of see these cows. But a cow actually has four stomachs. Did you know that? Four stomachs. And ruminate means that you chew on it. And basically, a cow will chew on some grass, swallow it. It swallows into stomach number one. And then this sounds a little bit gross, but he actually spits it back up and chews on it some more. More and more. And then he swallows it. It goes into stomach number two. Then he brings it back up, chews on it some more. And you're right, then it goes stomach number three, stomach number four. There's other animals that do this. I think camels do that as well. But it's called to ruminate. And the word in Hebrew for meditate, like to meditate on God's word, is the same as ruminate. Because when we're meditating on it, we chew on it. We ponder over it. We pray over it. Let's take 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In everything give thanks. We read that. But then we chew on it a little bit. We think about it. We pray over it. We think, Lord, how can I give thanks in everything? And then, are there things that I'm not giving thanks? Yeah, how about that situation at work? Oh, yeah. You know, and so when you're at work, all of a sudden you kind of bring that back up and you start thinking about it, you pondering it. Lord, help me to be able to kind of be thankful in everything that I do. Help me to be rejoiced. Lord, that's something else you say in your word. And we think about it, and that's what God wants us to do with his word. Not just that one phrase about in everything give thanks or rejoice always, but all through the scriptures. You might say, well, that's going to take me a lifetime to do that. Well, yeah, that's right. And that's the idea, that as we ruminate or meditate on God's word, it gets into us. And because Jesus is the word of God, he becomes alive. His life begins to be my life, and he flows through me. This is what it means, and my words abide in me, in you. Yeah, we abide in him, and his words abide in us. And there's really no other way that we can have that abiding relationship unless we connect with God's word and let it start coming into us. Just because we have the paper that says, hey, I've inherited this ranch, you know, that's good. Heaven's declared it. But we still need to go out and possess what God's given us. And the way we do that, one of the ways, we'll talk about others in the next few weeks, is we let God's word get into us. Very, very important. Because we can't abide in him unless we're letting his word abide in us. Okay, let's read the rest of that verse real quick. In verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, look at this. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. What a promise. It's incredible. Abiding is necessary. Abiding is essential for us to move into this mountain-moving type of prayer that we've been talking about earlier this fall. You know, God wants his church to move into a new realm of prayer. But it cannot happen. It will not happen unless we learn to abide in him. And part of that is letting his words abide in us. Because when we're truly connected to the vine, he and us and us and him, then we know his heart. We have his burdens. We understand his will and his purposes. And we can ask with confidence the things that are on his heart. We become a vessel, a branch carrying his life and his power. See, it's like that hose again. Just because you're connected positionally doesn't mean that the water's on and that the water's coming through. We've got to turn that on and let his life and his power flow through us like a hose, except in us, it's not just regular water, it's the living water. Remember that verse in John 7 when Jesus gets up on the great day of the last day of the great feast, and he says, He who believes in me, out of his innermost being shall what? Flow rivers of living water. Not just a cupful, but rivers of living, water. In fact, this is probably not a river, but that hose, what's happening? It's spraying water all over the place, everyone around us. That's what God wants to do with us. When we are like a hose or a branch, carrying God's life, Jesus' life and power, it sprays around to everyone around us. And the idea of a church is that God's people in a given city or town, there are many people, probably in every work spot. You go to Walmart, you go to Target, speaking of Yoruba, and you've got all sorts of people spraying living water out. And so if you go to Target, or if you work at Target, or you work at Walmart, or wherever you work, you're going to get sprayed by the living water if we're abiding in Him. That's the idea here. Okay, well, why don't we kind of close there for this morning? But can you see how abiding in Christ really unlocks the full Christian life for us? The way it was supposed to be. No, it's not going to be something that's going to happen automatically in a moment. For us to truly abide in Him practically, positionally, yes, but we have to learn how to abide, how we need to get God's Word inside of us. We need to, going back to that ranch illustration that we just inherited, we need to get the income coming to our bank account. We need to go out there. We need to explore it. We need to kind of ride some of those horses. We need to kind of explore some of the little creeks and rivers running through it. We need to learn how to operate it, don't we? And there will be some responsibility too. Your kids may have to kind of learn to feed the horses or something, And I'm sure they wouldn't mind for the first 2 or 3 days, So anyway, this is what we have been given. And the question I want to ask is, have you made a commitment to make abiding in Christ your life pursuit? That is to abide in Jesus Christ, allowing His words to become part of our lives. This is December. The New Year is right around the corner. It's a good time to make a fresh commitment. And I'm not going to be asking for a commitment today, because I feel like we need to take a few weeks and really think about this. Are you really ready? Are you really willing to go and explore what you've inherited and begin living there? It's the realm of abiding in Him. You could call this your Christmas 2016 commitment. I want you to think about it. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. It's living, it's active. Lord, we thank You for this passage that encourages, exhorts us to learn how to abide in You and You in us. Yes, Lord, I know positionally we have that letter. We have Your Word that says we are a branch abiding in the vine. Lord, we have that letter that says You live inside of us. But Lord, practically, there's still a lot that we haven't really appropriated. We talk about it. We've maybe even seen some pictures of it. But we haven't really kind of taken possession of it, of what You've given us. Lord, You're calling us to take possession of this wonderful promise, this wonderful responsibility to abide in You. So Lord, we ask that You would open our eyes to this, that we might become people who are truly abiding in You and You are abiding in us. That we may be those sprinklers of living water wherever we go. The neighborhoods we live in, the places that we work, the places that we go to school, the families that You've placed us into. Lord, may we be those sprinklers of living water. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.